Chapter 13. Lexi sat at the counter in the back of the bakery, sorting through the mountain of mail which had accumulated over the past few days. When she got to an envelope with red edges, she felt her heart freeze. It was from the appliance vendor. She ripped it open, letting the envelope drift to the floor. It was due in 7 days. Lexi looked around the kitchen. She couldn't risk having that payment held up by the Tolliver murder any longer. She needed to get down to business and catch Chastine's killer. The only problem was, she still had no idea who might have done it. She reached into a drawer, pulling out a pen and paper. Mentally running through the list of suspects, she tried to figure out who would be most likely. The people from Texas were a long shot, although, if Bob's daughter could be found and she was here at the time of the murder, she would be a likely candidate. She wrote Bob's daughter down on the paper with an asterisk next to it. Then below it wrote Dinty Carter with a dash next to his name. Lexi had her doubts about Xavier discovering Chastine had a lover and killing her over it. He seemed genuinely upset about her death. She wrote his name down on the paper and lightly crossed it out. Chastine's lover was another suspect. Lexi wondered if she actually did have one, or if it was just a rumor. It seemed foolish for the woman to jeopardize her upcoming marriage by cheating on Xavier, but Lexi added Chastine's lover to the list, just in case. Trixie could have done it. She certainly was taking advantage of Chastine's death to rekindle her relationship with Xavier. The incentive of marrying into all that money could easily justify murder in some people's eyes. Lexi wrote Trixie's name down on the list under Xavier's and put an asterisk next to it. Finally, her thoughts turned to Bronson and Blake. Either one of them could have done it. They had means, motive, and opportunity, so she added their names at the bottom. She studied the list. 7 suspects. They all had a motive. She figured she could narrow down the list by crossing off the ones who had an alibi for the time of the murder. Of course, she had no idea who 2 of the suspects even were, which could make it a little difficult. Maybe she should focus on the ones she did know. The question was, which one to focus on first? Her thoughts were interrupted by the trilling of her phone. It was Nan's. "Hi, Nan's," Lexi chirped into the phone. "Morning," the older woman bubbled. "We have some information about some of the suspects. I wanted to let you know right away." Lexi felt her heart grow lighter. She was already making progress. "Ruth checked with the local hotels. Your friend Dinty Carter and his posse from Texas arrived only yesterday. She also found out that they flew in on a private jet. Apparently Dinty has some money. But since the jet only flew in yesterday, they couldn't have murdered Chastine." "Great." Lexi gingerly crossed Dinty Carter's name off the list. "And there's more," Nans continued. "Trixie couldn't have murdered her either because she was seen at an after party by hundreds of people. Her picture was even in the paper." "An after party?" "Yes. Trixie is an actress in the theater downtown. She plays a small role in their rendition of A Midsummer Night's Dream, which just opened this weekend. It's common for them to have a party after the play, which tends to go on until all hours of the night. Ida knows the director and some of the other people in the play. She checked with them. Trixie was there, enjoying herself fully at 2:30 in the morning." Lexi felt overjoyed. 2 down and only 5 to go. She crossed Trixie's name off the list. "Thanks a bunch, Nans. This really narrows down my suspect list. Now I've only got to whittle it down to just 1 person, the killer." "We did find out 1 other thing, which might help you with that. Helen sent a description of the brooch you said Chastine usually wears, the one you think was ripped from her blouse, out to the local pawn shops and we got a bite. A to Z Pawn over on Chestnut Street said, a man brought a brooch in which sounded similar to what you described. It didn't have a big stone in it, though. All the stones had been removed. The man wanted to sell it for the melt value of the gold. Did he describe what the man looked like? Lexi felt her heartbeat speed up. Helen tried to pump him for information, but all he could remember was that the man was tall, dark, and seemed like he was in a bad mood. He also said the man was in a hurry, which made him a little suspicious. So he didn't take the brooch. Tall, dark, and in a bad mood? That sounded a lot like Bronson. Suddenly, Lexi knew exactly who to start focusing on first. Lexi raced out to the front of the store. Cassie! Cassie, who was halfway in the display case straightening out a tower of eclairs, turned, looking at Lexi over her shoulder with raised eyebrows. Want to go for a ride? She asked, keys dangling from her fingers. Cassie straightened up. What? Why? Come on, it's the slow part of the day. Haley can watch the bakery for the rest of the afternoon and then lock up. We have a murderer to catch. Lexi saw Cassie's brows scrunch together. Her sideways glare begged for an explanation. I've narrowed down the suspect list to a few people. I was hoping we could do some covert surveillance on them to see what turns up. Cassie shrugged. That doesn't seem like something we should be getting ourselves into, does it? Lexi felt confused. Since when did Cassie not want to do something dangerous and possibly stupid that might get them into trouble with the police? She walked over to Cassie, putting the back of her hand on her friend's forehead in an exaggerated manner. Are you feeling okay? It'll be an adventure. You're always up for an adventure. Cassie laughed. Yeah, I guess so. I don't know what came over me. Let me just finish up this case and I'll grab my jacket. Great. We have to swing by my house to pick up Sprinkles first. I'll explain more in the car. 20 minutes later, the girls were loaded into the car, with Sprinkles balancing contentedly on the console in between them. Lexi absently patted the dog's silky fur while she told Cassie what she had learned from Nan's. But what do you think you will find out from following Bronson? I'm just hoping we'll get lucky. Maybe today will be the day he tries to dispose of the murder weapon. It still hasn't been found, you know. She glanced sideways at her friend. I got the bill for the kitchen equipment today. It's due in 7 days. I'm kind of in a hurry to help get this case closed up. Lexi felt Cassie put her hand reassuringly on her arm. Don't worry, Lexi. Even if you don't get the payment, we'll work something out. You will eventually get paid for this job. I know, but I don't want to be delinquent on that bill. It could cause a whole lot of problems for us. The girls fell silent as they got closer to the Tolliver mansion. Lexi let off the gas, driving past the house slowly. The Tolliver mansion sat next to a nature preserve with walking trails. Lexi pulled her car into the small parking lot for the preserve. She grabbed a pair of binoculars from the back seat. It's such a beautiful Indian summer day. I was thinking we could go for a walk in the woods, you know, under the guise of walking the dog and doing some bird watching with these binoculars. No one needs to know. The birds we are watching are the ones in the Tolliver house. Lexi snapped on Sprinkle's dog leash. Jumping out of the car, she left the door open for the little dog to follow. Cassie was already out. Removing her jacket, she tossed it into the back seat. It's so warm out, almost like summer. She stretched, turning her face up to the sun. Sprinkles tugged at the leash, eager to explore. The girls followed her lead, heading down the path. They walked in silence, enjoying the sounds of the birds, the earthy smell of the woods, and the sounds of dry leaves crunching under their feet. They stopped to let Sprinkles explore and sniff along the way. Every so often, they got out the binoculars and trained them on the Tolliver house. The path was close to the Tolliver property. Now that the leaves had mostly fallen from the trees, Lexi didn't need binoculars to see into the yard, but she used them to look at the house itself and the various outbuildings to try to pick out anything unusual. After 20 minutes, Lexi sighed with frustration. "There's nothing going on. We should head back." The path had wound around to the back of the house. They turned to head back toward the car. About halfway back, Lexi noticed the path cut in right near the edge of the Tolliver property, where they were building the new cabana. Lexi paused, looking at the construction site through the trees. She was so close, she didn't need binoculars to see they were setting up forms to pour cement. She felt sprinkles tugging on the leash. Looking down, she noticed it was wrapped around various sticks and vines, leaving the dog only about a foot of leeway. Lexi squatted down. "How did you do that, girl?" She was always amazed at how the dog could get her leash tangled in an impossible mess. This time was no different. Somehow, sprinkles had weaved the leash in and around a cluster of thick vines. Lexi swore under her breath as she tried to unknot the mess. "Hey, there's a truck idling out front with someone in the passenger seat." Cassie, who had continued up the path, was now rounding the corner, which had a view of the front of the house. Lexi worked harder at the leash. "It's Bronson. He's getting in the truck." Cassie started jogging for the car. Lexi felt panic rise up in her chest. They had to follow him. Giving up on the leash, she unhooked Sprinkle's harness, scooped the dog up in her arms, and ran for the car.